أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. إن شاء الله اليوم 9th of September, which is Wednesday 2020, we are back again to our class, which you normally hold here in Irshadul Ummah WhatsApp group. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Last class, we were able to talk about Awzan al-Af'al, that is the scales of verbs, and then we further stressed to talk about Al-Fi'l al-Madi. So we talked about Al-Fi'l al-Madi, and then we give the signs of detecting, of knowing a fi'l al-madi from other verbs. And we say that a fi'l al-madi is a past tense. So when I'm repeating fi'l al-madi, I'm expecting you to follow along, because it's something you should have memorized by now. Okay, now we also mentioned about a fi'l al-madi having the sign of ending with fatha at the end. Inshallah, we mentioned that al-fi'l al-madi has just one sign, and that sign is known by fatha ending the last letter of a three-letter word. And we give an example by saying daraba, daraba. So we give other examples, other signs again, like for example, the first and the last letter having fatha, fatha in the same three-letter words. So since we are beginning, we would use this one as the only example, or only the only sign we use to denote fi'l al-madi for now. As we go further, we'll get to know them. Let's take them as they come. Now, having talked about al-fi'l al-madi, we should be talking about al-fi'l al-mudari now, because I just wanted to give us a glance of what everything looks like. So don't expect me to give you everything that it is in Arabic language. No, I will just be giving it to you little after little. So it's just like 20% after 20%. So what you know now, we are going to be adding to it as we move further, inshallah. Today, inshallah, we are with now, if you read from our book, Babul Af'al, you will discover that what the author is saying, he says, Al-Af'al Salasa, verbs are three kinds. Number one, Madi, past tense. Number two, Mudari, present or continuous tense. Number three, Amru, which is a command verb. And he gave an example for the three kinds of verb, Doroba, which is for past tense, he beats. Yadribu. Doroba, he beats, or to beat, past tense. Yadribu, he beats, or he is beating. You know, it's all present tense or present continuous. He beats with S at the end, or he is beating. Idrib, beats, is a command. Is a command or a request. Or is it a request or a command? Yeah. So he further says, فَالْمَاضِي مَفْتُوحُ الْآخِرِ أَبَدًا. الْفِعْلُ الْمَاضِي has fatha at the last letter of the word ever. Anytime you see a fi'l al-madi, fatha must be the last sound of the last letter. The letter that is at fi'l al-madi, fatha must be on top of it. Ida muqaddara, as I told you, don't forget, it's not written here. Ida muqaddara or zahira. And what we mean by muqaddara is you assume for that fatha to be there, or the fatha is there apparent for you to see. What we're talking about, you assuming, is a scenario whereby you have ya'ul mad to be the last letter of a word. For example, salla, 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 that ya'ul mad that is at the end. So you assume fatha to be at the top, because its origin is solaya, solaya. So because of that year being mad, it was now and the gum was done on that year, and to make it stand as mud, and then shedda was given to that lamb to make it solar, and then the lamb now became two. Because if you this is sort of, it will take us out of what we are talking about, because it will cross like 6 or 7 stages before it gets to this solar that it is. So, but just take it like that. What we are talking about, muqaddara, assuming as option, you assume that fata is at the end in a word that ends with either alif mad or waw mad or yaw mad, in a verb that ends with that. So you make it muqaddara. Now he said, wal amru majzumun abada. Al amru fil amru has sukun abadan. It will forever be having sukun at the end. Now, I don't want us to take fil amru because it's much more vast than madi and mudari itself. Because there are a lot of things that take sukun themselves. They are not amru. So let us not go there now. We'll take fil mudari today before we talk about al amru, inshallah. If we are able to finish mudari today, we'll talk about amru on Sunday, inshallah. Wa billahi tawfiq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim al-mudari. He said, المضارع ما كان في أوله إحدى الزوائد الأربع التي يجمعها قولك آنيت. المضارع is what has any of the four letters that are going to be mentioned, any of the four following letters at the beginning of the word, at the just beginning of the word, if any of those following letters are found there, that is a sign of denoting a fi'lul mudhari. Yajma'uha qawluk, those letters, you can put them in a word and call them anaitu. Anaitu. What do you mean by anaitu? It's just a code for you to memorize it. What we're talking about here is we're talking about alif, nun, yao, and ta. Alif, nun, yao, and ta. So getting alif, nun, and yao, and ta at the beginning of a word shows you that that thing is a verb, and it's not just ordinary, it's not just any kind of verb, but a present tense or a present continuous tense. Example is we started with doroba, so let's use the same doroba here, or let's take another example. Yaktubu, he is writing, or he writes, anyhow you want to translate it, anyone you want to use it for. Is it, if you want to use it for present, you're fine. If you want to use it for present continuous, you're fine. Yaktubu. Now you can discover that from the beginning, the first letter is ya, yak tubu. Alas, the past tense was kataba. Kataba, three letter words. Now, if you look at the present tense and the past tense in terms of structure, they are the same. The only thing that is there is that ya is added from the beginning. That ya is added to kataba from the beginning, and then some little sound changes from kataba, from fata fata to doma doma do, to give you yektubu. This one is a structure change, and it does not affect you as an individual. So it actually does not concern you. You don't put anything you like there. There is no way to, there are ways to determine what is going to be there, but then it's something very, very vast. We cannot be talking about that here now. Now we'll take the ya here. So the presence of ya here means that this verb is a present tense, no longer a past tense. Because when ya is going to start a past tense, if ya starts a past tense, two things are going to be involved to make you differentiate it between a past tense between them, if yeah is going to start a past tense, two things will be involved, which will help you to denote that this is a past tense. Number one, it's going to be a three-letter word. For example, yeah is. We have yeah is. Yeah is. Yeah is a past tense. Its present tense is. Its present tense is yei asu. Yei asu. So how do you know which one is a past tense and which one is a present tense? Number one, I told you there are going to be two things involved. The first thing you are going to use to check is a past tense, as I say, is at most time three-letter words. This is your level. Just take it for now. Three-letter words. Yeah, Isa. Then, the second thing that you're going to use to know when you are now crossing the stage of knowing that a past tense can exceed three-letter words up to six-letter words, what you're going to use to denote it again is the presence of fatha at the end. You discover that from Yeh Asu, we have Dhamma at the end, and Yeh Isa, we have fatha at the end. So, even despite starting the letter, it's starting the word, it's still a past tense. It's not a present tense in this regard, because the yeah there is an original yeah, not yao of Mudoria. So the two things you can use to differentiate it between, to distinguish it from a present tense now, is number one, it's a three-letter word. Number two, it has fatha at the end, as against Filu Mudori, which has Dhamma at the end. And that is what the author is talking about when he say Yajima wa haqaluka anaitu, and he continues, wa huwa marfu'un abada. It is marfu'un abada. We're talking about marfu, we're talking about Dhamma. Talking about mansub, we're talking about fatha. Talking about majzum, we're talking about sukun. Now I jot it down for you. Mansub, we say mansub, because it will get to a time we'll stop using English, we'll be using Arabic. When we say mansub, we're talking about al fatha. That is nasbu, mansub or nasbu, al fatha. When we say marfu' or raf'u, we say marfu' or raf'u, we're talking about al dhamma. Dhamma. Then we're talking about majzum or jazmu or mahfud or khafdu. Majzum or mahfud. No, majzum, just majzum. We're talking about majzum, we are talking about sukun, asukun. Then what we're talking about al majrur au mahfud. We're talking about al kasra. So just take it, these are the terminologies we use in Nahu. What we say al mansub, what they are referring is that word has fatha at the end. What we say when they say al marfur, it means that word has dhamma at the end. When they say al majzum, it means that word has sukun at the end. They say al majrur, it means that word had kasra at the end, or mahfud, it also means it has kasra at the end. So these are terminologies we use in Nahu. They can mean another thing. They can mean another thing in other aspect of the knowledge, like fiqh and others, hadith and other. They mean other things, but here in Nahu, this is what we use them to refer to. Now, back to our fi'il mudhari. We practically have successfully told you. That al fi'il mudhari has four letters of identifying them, which is alif, nun, and ya. And now we've taken ya. Now let's look at the alif Nun Anta. This same Yaktubu, when it's used for Alif, we say Aktubu. 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 The same Alif, we use it for the same Kataba. We use it for Nun, it will give us Naktubu. Naktubu. Then the same ta, we use it, it will give us Taktubu. Taktubu. So you see the four letters now. The first one is Yaktubu, the second one is Aktubu, the third one is Naktubu, why the fourth one is Taktubu. So you can decide to use them anyhow you like. Na'aitu, anaitu, just have a code of knowing them. Now practically, this is what you use to know fi'l mudhari. The two signs of fi'l mudhari is that, number one, it will have either of those four letters at the end, not the end, sorry, beginning. It will have either of those four letters at the beginning. The letters are Alif, Nun, Ya, and Ta. Number two, the word is itself is going to carry Dhamma at the end. That is a fi'lul mudhari. Naktubu, as against fi'lul mudhari, that is kataba with fatha. I hope this is clear. These are the two signs. If you want to add another sign, al-fi'lul mudhari is always from four letters upward. Fi'lul mudhari always starts from four letters upward. But there are some circumstances that will make it to be three letters, whereby we'll have a half letter, like Wawul Wasli or others, like Al-Waw, not Wawul Wasli. When we have Waw, it can make a fi'l mudhari to have kasra. A good example is wasala. Wasala. If you have wasala as a past tense, the fi'l mudhari would look like yasilu. Yasilu. And yasilu will be only three letters. Like you have wasala as past tense, its fi'l mudhari would look like yasilu. Yasilu. You see, it's only three letters. If you want to use the alif, to be asilu. Asilu. If you want to use, you know, it will be nasilu. Nasilu. If you want to use the okay, what's the meaning now? Tasilu. It will all be like this. Wasala, asilu. Wasala, yesilu, nasilu, asilu, tasilu. This is just, it's three letter words, but then what you still use to denote that this is a fi'l madhi, this is a fi'l mudhari, is the fact that it has those letters at the beginning and that dhamma, which, and that rafu'u, marfu'un abada, that marfu'u that it has at the end. That is why we made those two signs as the main points of denoting a fi'l mudhari. I hope this is not confusing. Just what I will need from you is to calm down and always use these examples while you're listening to what we are doing. Now, practically, I can tell you that I've given you what is in fi'l mudhari. This is just fi'l mudhari for you to know. But then one might ask, when I say, what is the difference between yasilu, asilu, nasilu, and tasilu? So if you now, if it's now for us to know the difference between yasilu, asilu, nasilu, and tasilu, I would seek for your permission, hoping that you grant the permission for me to divide out of al-fi'lu totally, to go back to a noun, and then give you what we were supposed to do in the noun which I forgot to do. Because we were supposed to do it in the noun before we come to af'al. But then the arrangement from the book made me to forget it totally. But now we are going back there, inshallah, without waste of time. Dus, yasilu, asilu, nasilu, tasilu represent different persons in usage.
Yasilu represent Hua. Asilu represent Anna. Nasilu represent Nahnu. While Tasilu represent Anta and here. Now, if we don't go back to that, those nouns to give you every other thing that you need there. If you don't go back to those pronouns to spell out everything, it's going to be hard for you to grab what we are doing here. But just follow me along and grab what we are doing in the pronoun. Then I'll bring it back again and then translate it down to what we are doing here. We are not totally deviating from the topic, but then we are bringing something that will aid us to understand what we are doing here. Now, in Arabic, we have different kinds of pronoun, not just like the you have in English. We have Anna, which means I, or you say me, depending on how you want to use it. But then this pronoun is also very, very vast. So I don't know how we are going to do it. If we would be in need of it, I would spread it. Yes, I will spread it. We'll do these pronouns now. Then if we're not able to finish this pronoun in our next class, we'll also do the pronouns. Also, once we are done with the pronouns, we'll come back to this field Modori, because everything will be much more clearer then. That is how it will be clear for you without stress. So if you can put everything together, then you understand the Nahu which we want you to understand. Now, Anna, I or me. Nahnu, we. Let's just say we. Will give us the us where we go, but for the noun, just translate it as we or us for beginners. For the beginners among us, translate it like that. For those of us that have known these ones before, please, we are begging for your, we are soliciting your patience to allow us carry others along. So, nahnu, we. We have anta. You masculine. For the masculine, I'll be using letter M. Then for the feminine, I'll be using letter F. Auntie. You female. Antuma. You, male or female. That is dual you. He's talking about two people. You, two of you. Two of you. He's talking about two here now. Then Antum. Antum. Anto means you, masculine, gender, plural. That is for you. Once you are three upward, from three upward, that is you, Anto. Antuna. Antuna. You. For feminine gender, plural. That is three female upward. Then we have Hua. Hua. Which means he or him. We have here, which is she or her. we have Huma, which is both of them. Either masculine or feminine, both of them, woman. They will have home, which is either them, they, or their. How it depends on usage, but then this one it's talking about masculine, and you know. From, well, by talking about whom, now we are talking about plural, and then it's from three upward, from three upward, because in English two upward is their plural, but here three upward is what we will regard to as plural here. Then we have hunna, hunna, and hunna, hunna also means them or they. But here we are talking, we are referring to the feminine gender, plural. So, this is it, practically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We'll have it as 12 here. It might expand as we go further. It will expand as we go further. Because what we will do is, I would give you, you know, you see this one that have all of those letters here, all of those words here, those pronouns here, they can be subjugated into another form to still stand as pronouns, but then not in this form entirely, differently from what we have here. It will be totally different from what we have here, because the structure would be taken from here, but then there are some certain things that would be added to make it look otherwise. So this is the focal aspect of what we are doing. Just pay total attention while you are doing it. It's advisable you listen to this audio 3-4 times to grab what we are doing. Pick your pen, be jotting down things that are hard. So I would like to see you ask me question on areas you don't understand, and if you don't ask question, I will assume you understand what we explained. Now we have ana and nahnu. Ana and nahnu. Ana and nahnu, we call them. I will be sending an arrow to it. We call them dhamair. Dhamair. Al-Mutakallim. Domair al-Mutakallimi. What do you mean by Domair al-Mutakallimi? We are referring to someone who is speaking for himself or is speaking for them, for the group. When you say Ana, myself, me, I, you are speaking for yourself. When you say Nahnu, we, us, you are speaking for the group. So, in English, we don't call it speak and pronouns for speaker. We call it first person pronoun. First person pronoun. That's what we call it. And what we mean by first person is you are talking to yourself or you are representing the group. And then by Ana, Ana is first person singular. Why Nahnu is second, is first person plural. Sorry, just take it like that. Ana is first person singular. You can jot it down. I'm not writing it here for you. Ana is first person singular. Why Nahnu is first person plural. What we mean by first person plural is that the person that is talking is still referring to the group. Like us is referring to the group. But then he's referring to plural plural form. It's referring to a plural noun, not a singular noun. So when you say Ana, you are referring to a singular noun, like yourself, myself, I, me, myself. But when I say Nahnu, us, we,
ourselves, it means we are in plural form. So since we are plural here now, we'll call it first person plural. It doesn't change, despite that we are more than three, does not change the fact that one person is still speaking for us. So we'll call it first person plural. First person plural. Now we'll go to the second category. From anta down to antuna. Down to antuna, we call it domair. Domair al-mukhatab. Al-mukhatab. What do we mean by domair al-mukhatab? Domair al-mukhatabi. Mukhatab. Mukhatabi. Domair al-mukhatab is the person that is listening to you, which you are talking to. We can, in a layman translation, we say listener, pronouns of the listeners. Pronouns of the listeners, or the people you are talking to, they are the one listening to you. We call them domair al-mukhatab. But in English grammar, we don't call it pronoun of the listeners. We call it second person pronouns. Second person pronoun. Why we mean by what we mean by second person pronoun is that it's the person you are talking to directly. So be them one or two or three or more than does not take them out of the fold of the people you are talking to. If you're talking to a congregation, they are your second person. You that is speaking, being speaking for yourself or speaking for the group, you are first person. I don't know if it's clear like this. This is how it's translated. Now, just the same logic we used for Anna being the first person singular, Nahnu being the first person plural, here in Anta, Anta and Anti are first, are second person singular. Anta and Anti are second person singular. What do you mean by second person singular? The people that are there, they are your listeners. But then they are single individual. Anta is just you, just one person. Anti is just you, just one person. Let me still simplify it. Singular. Singular. Antuma is dual. Dual. So we refer to it as second person dual. Second person dual. Be it male or female, let them be two males or two females or one male and one female, you still call them antuma. Then antum, is now a plural. Antuna is also a plural. Antum is talking about masculine gender if they are males. Why antuna? You use antuna to refer to females. So in this regard, since they are plural, we call them second person plural. It's very simple. Just don't confuse yourself. Just calm down and be listening to it. Anta and anti are first, second person singular. Second person singular. Because you are referring to just one individual. Anta, you, a male. Anti, you, a female. Then, antuma is second person dual. Second person dual because you are referring to two individuals. Either a male and a female, or a female and a female, or a male and a male. You, both of you, that is what you are saying, antuma. Now, antum, you are not talking to the congregation, you are not talking to a group. You, all of you, like all of you, you, more than three, either three or more than three males, you are not talking to them, antum. Masculine gender, either three or more than three, antum. Now, antuna, you are not referring to females that are either three or more than three, antuna, you, females. So, in that regards, we'll call it second person plural. Now, we'll come to the last category, which is the third category. We call them domair al-ghaib. Domair al-ghaib. Al-ghaib. Domair al-ghaib. What do you mean by domair al-ghaib? From just what we have been doing, you already know what we are talking about. Here we call them third person pronouns. Third person pronouns, that's what we call them in grammar, in English grammar, that's how they're called. Third person pronoun. Who are and here, they are just singular. They are singular, you are referring to one person. So since you're referring to one person, it's third person singular. When you say who are, he or him, or you say here, he or she or her, then you are referring to one person. So it means third person singular, because you fall under the category of third person. Number two, huma, you're not referring to two people, either male or female. You say both of them, both of them. It now means it is third person dual, third person dual. Now, when you say whom, you are talking to males, that is masculine gender, either three or upward. You say them or they, and you're referring to masculine gender, whom. Now, this is a plural. And then for the female, for the feminine gender, if you're referring to more than three females or three females themselves, you use hunna to show that you are referring to them or they. So here now, having it as plural form makes you to know that these two are third person plural. Third person plural. Third person plural. So I'm taking my time to just do some arrows for you so you can understand what we're talking about here. It's not hard. That is just it. And then again, the last thing I'll talk about here before we call it a day is third person. Let me just add a little explanation to it. When we say third person plural, what we're talking about is the person that is not with you. You can say person that is absent, outside your discussion. Someone that is outside your discussion. If somebody is inside the room and you're talking about him, it's already the third person. The person you are talking to directly is the second person, which is listening to you. But the third person you are talking about, which is inside the room, is the third person. So his pronoun is now third person pronoun. Again, if we are three in number sitting in a gathering discussing about something, and I'm telling Abubakar a story of Aisha, the Aisha that is with there with us, sitting, listening to us, smiling, either smiling or hiding her face in because of shyness of what I'm talking about, she is the third person, because what I'm talking about is relating to, is about her. I'm talking about her, but then I'm not talking to her directly. I'm talking to Abubakar. Since I'm talking to Abubakar, Abubakar is the one listening to me, is now the second person. And the person I'm talking about, despite she is hearing what I'm saying, she's the third person, because I'm not talking to her directly. I'm talking to Abubakar about her. It's just simple like that. That is how it is. So I would want you to digest those pronouns. Digest them. Then I will tell you why we have to go to this place. After we are done with everything, I will bring you back to this Alfieri Lumodori. So now a quick assignment. I think I will just have to write the assignment on the group so you can do the assignment to carry all of us along, to know if we are actually following up. So I will write it to the group. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Wa qul qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of this. Please pay proper attention to it. It's very, very important. Like, if you miss it from here, it will be hard as we go further. Just get it. These ones are elementary. I'm bringing them out of nowhere. They are not inside your book. Inside the book, the Arjurumiya we are using, they are not there. They are just techniques developed by modern teachers. So we just use them. And then, mashallah, inshallah, some of them are developed even, I wasn't even taught this way. I just had the thinking to put it through this way, and it has been helping a lot of people which came through my tutelage, inshallah. So I hope, inshallah, all of you will also get these techniques and still extend it to others. I still remain your brother, Tasir Al-Fatih Abdul Qadir. So don't forget to do your assignment that I would drop. Assalamu alaikum.